Chairs tonight in the studio right here in Clearwater, Florida. Wherever you are listening to us, welcome to Go Yard. I'm Mama Mac, and right here in the studio with me is my wonderful, talented co-host, Dr. Angel Falzone. Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Yes, always look forward to the show. That's applause for Dr. A.
Applause for you, too.
Oh, yes. Well, there you go. Thanks, Pete.
Yeah, we got some breaking news. I know you're a sports fan, guys.
What's that?
Franchise quarterback Jameis Winston has been suspended by the NFL, according to Adam Schefter, for the first three games of the year.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Wow is right.
Yeah.
That kid just keeps on... Whoa, I won't finish
stay out
that
of trouble.
Sentence.
Yep.
Stay out of trouble,
that's
Jameis.
That's it. There you go. That's your breaking news.
Whoa, wow. Thanks, Pete.
Yep, no problem.
Wow. So.
You know, that segues our show quite well tonight.
It does. Would you explain how it does?
We are going to be talking about seasons of change in our life.
That's right. And there's so many of them that happen to every single one of us all through our lives, and they are difficult. And you and I have been talking, and we talked today at lunch, actually, about this topic and what it means in both of our lives and how we're seeing things happen in our lives that are different than maybe a year ago or a couple of years ago. And then we've just had people in our lives that also have said things to us that caused us to say, wow, it's hard sometimes to navigate change.
It really is. You know, and it's funny because I think it's common as people. We really don't like change.
No.
But everything is always changing. I mean, our days change. You know, everything's always changing.
The weather changes.
The weather, the days, you know, season, summer. We just started summer. Today's the first day of summer, you know.
So, I feel like we've been at it already for a while.
You know, I did as well because it's very, very hot here. But, you know, our world is full of cycling patterns of change.
Right. And it's just the nature of life to start out as a baby and go the way through different seasons. Did you ever see that Benjamin Button? Was that the name of it? That movie a long time ago with... Pete might know. Somebody very famous. Anyway, it started out with him as an old man, and he got younger and younger and younger. It went the opposite.
Oh, wow. No, I do not know that.
It's really... You remember that?
Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt. Great movie. I think that's the title of it. Benjamin Button or something like that. But anyway, it really was interesting because showing how the opposite way... Mm-hmm. And you know, really fun.
I'm going to have to check it out.
Yeah, check it out. But most of us, I would say all of us actually, are going from birth to eventually death, right?
Yes, so, and in between that.
And in between
is a whole lot.
And it's so different for so many different people. I mean, it's different culturally, you know, for what one is. What your life might be like when you're 30 in one country versus another country.
Oh, yeah.
And or when you're 50, when you're 70, whatever. Change happens, whether we like it or not. And that's one of the things that's kind of hard for a lot of people. They get stuck, and they really don't want to move out of that wherever they are.
That's so true, you know. And nothing ever stands still.
It doesn't, unfortunately.
It really, really, really doesn't. As much as we want it to, you know. Change is a natural part of life. And
right.
It can be hard for us.
It can be hard for us,
you know, emotionally and psychologically. And, you know, so what are some of those seasons of change?
Well, I mean, think about health issues, Dr.
Yes.
Angel. Because I've just recently, today, actually, talking to a good friend of mine early this morning about some changes going on in her life. And her husband has had a stroke recently. and a serious one, actually, in the last couple of years. And I hadn't seen her for like 3 years. And just the changes that their life has gone through and, you know, the care that has to be taken mm-hmm. when you have health issues, and especially at an advanced age. And he's not real mobile now. He has to be on a walker if he can even do that. And you know, all those kinds of things, health issues all your life. It doesn't matter how old you are. A lot of people, you know, have health issues at a very young age, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. They can come up at any point in our life, and definitely usually very unexpected, and they can really change
your life,
the way we live our life.
Absolutely. And so we want to talk a little bit about those stresses, because yes, they are stresses in our lives, and whether or not we accept the changes, the seasons of our lives very well. Because I know people who seem to just, oh, okay, fine, I'm turning this age or whatever, and they're okay.
Yeah, there's some people that just kind of go with
through it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's people that we all know that are like, oh my gosh, 40's coming up. This is like you were a couple of years ago. and oh my gosh, and I don't think you were that way at all, because I was at your party and you danced the night away. And so for you, 40 was not a bad thing, you know? But for a lot of people, it is really a milestone that is hard for them, or 50 or 60 or whatever.
Age can definitely be that very challenging. And some people are doing it kicking and screaming.
Right. Absolutely. Financial issues. A jobs change, you know, think about that. The seasons, you know, a lot of times when we're younger, we are going from job to job till we land in that thing that career job or the thing where we know we're going to stay for a long time.
But then things can happen with that.
Right.
You know, companies can go bankrupt. I mean, who would have thought Toys R Us would go bankrupt? Like, who would have thought that? I would have never thought that in a million years.
Right.
So, like, things happen.
Things happen in this economy. You know, a few years ago, the Great Recession, and that's what they actually call it now in history. They don't call it a recession. They call it the Great Recession in textbooks and so forth. And it was monumental for a lot of us in real estate, me included. It was very life-changing and difficult. Mm-hmm. And when outside forces like that are affecting your day-to-day life, it's hard.
It is, and you have really no control over it.
Right.
But it's going to change how you live your life.
It is.
What you can do. I mean, when the economy was doing great, we had excessive, you know, finances, maybe not as much debt, could take more vacations, didn't feel that pressure, and then recession happens. And I remember when I was going through it and coming out, living on my own for the first time, and like literally eating peanut butter every day for weeks and weeks and weeks, because
absolutely.
That was what we had.
Because you made do. You did what you had to do, you know. But there is stress involved. Would you agree? Because
yes,
you're our resident PhD licensed mental health counselor, which I like to remember to tell our audience why you're our expert. But, you know, so often people downplay the stresses of change in the seasons of our lives.
I think you're right. Absolutely. I see that. They downplay it. And, you know, the change doesn't even have to be a bad change or a negative change.
Right.
I mean, I know we've talked about a lot of negative changes, but they can be positive changes and still cause those stresses. And then it can be confusing. Like, why is this good thing causing me stress?
Well, do a lot of people thrive on routine? That's a professional question I'm asking you.
Yeah, routine's important. Our brain likes routine.
Okay.
So, okay. Yes.
And so when the routine is broken, mm-hmm. maybe you've always driven to work, you always leave the house at 7:35, and you're always at your desk at 8:01 or whatever the case may be, and you've done that for a number of years, and then suddenly you don't have a job, or suddenly you know,
you have a child to take care of
right.
and get to school or whatever the changes, it throws us off. You're right. It really gets us kind of out of balance, and then we're not quite sure how to deal with it.
So how does that affect our physical and mental, emotional thing when something traumatic, and let's make it even, okay, let's use your example. Suddenly you have a baby or you have a life change like that. That's mm-hmm. a huge life change.
It is a huge. And positive. Most people are, you know, planning that and really want that. I mean, we have a coworker, you know, she's so excited that she's pregnant and having her first child. And now she's started having like these anxiety attacks.
Really?
And she's like, what's happening? I'm happy. Like, this is great. And it's preparing for all the change,
which it will definitely be. And it doesn't matter how young or how old you are, when you add to your family, It does change your circumstances and change your emotions about it. And a lot of times...
everything. Your finances.
Well, and a lot of times you think anxiety about how's this going to work? How am I going to manage another mouth to feed or another situation, you know?
Or how am I going to hold a career and, you know, be a parent or whatever it is. Absolutely. There's a lot of unknowns.
Right.
And anxieties. And then even when it's happening, you know, the lack of sleep and still trying to function. And, you know, formula and diapers are so expensive.
Right.
And, you know, so it changes our life.
It does.
And that can be a very positive change for people.
Right. Yeah, so whether it's a positive change or a negative change, it definitely affects you emotionally, a lot of times financially, a lot of times just as far as your sleep patterns.
Oh, yes. Which in our sleep patterns, you know, really impact so much about us.
Oh, they do.
And, you know, when we're lacking sleep or not getting good quality of sleep, I know we talk about this a lot, but not only do your emotions are attached to that, your physical health is attached to that, your mood, how you perceive things that's going on in your world, like all of that's connected to that.
Speaking of that, and of course, we're winging the show as we do a lot of times without a lot of any outline basically but sleep, how much are we supposed to have, doctor? I mean,
well, you know, we're supposed to have 8 to 9 hours of sleep.
For 8 to 9 hours
of sleep.
Now I would have answered that question if I were asked 7 to 8.
Yes, no, it's 8 to 9 for an adult. Children should have more. Because you only grow when you sleep.
Teenagers definitely get more because they can sleep forever, it seems.
And they need to because, that's when their bodies are growing. And I think there's a myth that, teens can go on no sleep because they seem to have this endless supply of energy and we tend to let them have that freedom, but it's not good for them. That's why we see a lot of emotional teenage wild stuff happening sometimes. But sleep is super important.
Yeah, it really is. And if you are having bad dreams or nightmares, that affects
absolutely impact your
and
quality.
Sleep, whether or not you've had a good night's rest the night before, affects how your production is the next day or how you view life or whether or not you're easily crying or whatever the case may be.
Right. Or, you know, getting moody or snapping at people when we don't have good quality sleep or getting sick more often, which impacts how we handle what we have. You know, it takes away some of our energy to deal with these changes that keep happening to us.
And the sleep thing, which, you know, we can touch on this for a minute and then go on, but the sleep thing is something that affects you all your life. For instance, my kids just had a baby 11 months ago, Martin Candy, and Joel now is sleeping through the night. But boy, there's been a whole lot of time where he has not. And it has affected, you know, the whole household. You know, when a baby wakes up at 1 a.m. crying, you know, that changes everything, doesn't it?
Yes, it changes, you know, how they function individually, but how they function as a couple and a family and their jobs. And so things like that. Sleep is huge. It's one of the top reasons why people go to the doctor and get medications. It's such a common struggle right now.
That's true, yeah.
So sleep medications are very common to be prescribed, which... it would be best for us to get in good habits and overcome that. But if that's what we need to start developing them, you know, there are tools out there for that. But it's very common and we can't brush it under the rug.
No.
It's not that important. It's very,
very important. What about our eating habits when we are going through different stressors in our lives? Maybe a season in our life seems to be changing. What about eating habits and how do those affect a lot of people?
Well, so what happens when people start going through seasons of change is they go to comfort foods. And comfort foods are generally, you know, fatty.
Mashed potatoes.
Starchy, you know.
Right.
Foods that aren't really healthy, maybe more convenience foods, cookies, that kind of stuff. And, you know, they're putting a lot of junk in our bodies. And then, you know, it's fuel. So what you give your body is what it has to work with. And we need more energy to figure out this change. Our brain is having to leave its pattern of what it knows and learn to do something different.
Okay.
Find a new normal in there.
Right.
And... yeah, so the kind of quality of food we give, it's pretty important.
And so you would probably say vegetables and more vegetables.
I do. I do. A lot of healthier foods, you know,
protein
is really important. The protein is super important.
Yeah.
And there's some great ways of getting it in. I know there's companies that make, you know, vegetable smoothies and fruit smoothies, and they mix it and they can add vitamins. So there's some great ways of getting that. But instead of going, to the refrigerator and grabbing all those, you know, comfort foods that people tend to go for, you know, the half gallon of ice cream.
Right.
You know, kind of not falling in that trap will help you get through the season of change.
Absolutely. So the food, the eating habits, your exercise has got to be in there as an important part when you're going through change in particular, right?
Yeah, sure. Because it's giving you energy, but it's also helping you burn off some of the stress and the anxiety, and it's a coping skill, so it's helping to reduce those negative feelings and giving you a little bit more energy. I know it kind of sounds opposite, you know, I'm exercising, I'm using energy, how am I going to have more energy?
Yeah, that's
just
a good point.
The way our bodies work, when we exercise and use that energy, it actually gives us more energy, so we can get off the energy drinks and get off the 8 cups of coffee and let our body
do
it naturally.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to say something about that. So many people are, I wouldn't necessarily call that self-medicating. Usually we use that term when it talks about pills or alcohol or something like that. But so many people do this kind of thing with the energy drinks and several cups of coffee a day, etc., don't they?
They absolutely do. You know, energy drinks is a huge market right now.
Yeah.
And, because people are tired. They're tired because they're going through seasons of change. They're tired because they're not getting sleep and they're not, you know, eating the good kind of food, and they're not exercising, and they're exhausted.
Right. Exactly. So what's wrong with that? Just using coffee, let's say, as keep the coffee pot on all day long, honey?
Well, it's false energy.
Right.
It's kind of a bad Band-Aid, so to speak, over a bigger problem.
Sure.
Because, yes, we'll get boosted with that energy, but that wears off and we drop more. And when we take false energy, it's doing stuff to our heart, so it can lead us with, you know, cardiovascular issues. I know a lot of people have had a lot of problems with their heart from drinking energy drinks. I have a coworker going to a cardiologist now. She's
really?
In her 20s.
Whoa, seriously?
Seriously.
Oh, that's a very important point right now.
It really is. And so the more we can train our body naturally is really helpful to help us get through these times.
Right. Yeah. And when people have to change jobs, move out of a town, get someplace, how does that affect everything in their lives?
Oh, moving is a huge...
Huge. It is, isn't it?
Because it really impacts almost everything about your life. Like, you know, your trip to the grocery store is going to be different. Where you live, how you live, who your support people are, what the seasons, what the temperature for the day will be, or when the sunsets can change when we move, like, depending on how far we're moving.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
It can impact everything in our life.
And so, person that's listening or a family that says we are in the midst of packing up, we're getting ready to move and all that, what can they do, Dr. Angel, to actually help them adjust to a move?
Well, preparing for that move is, first of all, taking care of yourself. And I know we've talked long and extensively the
past
few shows.
Just keep on talking about it.
About self-care. That's an important part of it. Making a plan.
Right.
You know, the more we can plan for change, the more we reduce that anxiety, and we're handling it. We need to learn to kind of go with the flow instead of fight it, and the changes happen and we're totally not ready for it, so it's making all that negative stuff worse.
I think when you have to face something like a major move across country or to another city, or kids changing schools, so many people enter that whole event kicking and fighting.
They do. They hit it kicking and screaming, which means their body's moved, but they haven't moved emotionally. So they're not really setting up their house or unpacking or getting their kids registered in the school. So everything's happening behind and creating a lot more stress for everyone. You know, I've seen parents registering for kids on the day school started.
Yeah.
And they'd lived in that town, you know, for at least 6 weeks before. And so the more we can plan, that helps us to handle that change more effectively.
Well, the word that just came to me when you were talking was embrace.
Embrace. Yeah, it's a good word.
Because when you embrace somebody, you pull them in close, right? You're accepting of that person. You're giving them a big hug or whatever the case may be. And when we embrace changes in these seasons in our lives, instead of fighting them, it's got to be to our benefit, doesn't it?
Absolutely, it's to our benefit. You know, when it changes your mood, your emotions, it's so connected. And yeah, you'll have more energy to handle the change. You'll have the ability better to whatever problems result from the change, look at it. You know, I think a lot of times when people go through a significant change, good or bad, they keep looking back at what life was like before the change.
I was going to bring that up, and let's do that right after our break in a minute, because that's a very important point. For those of you listening, if you want to comment or ask a question, you can do that live right now. You call in at 727-441-3000, and Pete will answer the phone and pass you on in to us right here in the studio, 727-441-3000. You can also text me directly right here to my phone, and that number is 727-888-4171. I'm going to give you that one more time if you're going to grab a pen. To text into the show, 727-888-4171. And also, Doctor, we're getting ready to do a question-answer show. We keep saying we're going to.
We do.
But these topics keep coming up, and we want to do shows on them. But we welcome the questions that our listeners send in. And usually the easiest way to do that is send them by email, because they are lengthy when we get these. So that's GoYard 2014, because that's the year we began the show. GoYard 2014 at gmail.com. Send it in. Send your questions in so we can put together a show. And usually we put together 9 or 10 of the best questions for that show. But we get a lot more than that. So, you know, if you want to have us talk about your issue, feel free. Just send an email, goyard2014 at gmail.com. And you can catch our podcast. And why would they want to do that?
Well, because when we have our shows up, they're titled, so you will know what that show is about and find that show that helps you with where you are right now in this moment.
The titled ones are actually on our website, goyard2014.org. It's an ORG. Also at tantalknetwork.com. Right here you can go to podcasts and you can get recent shows, but they don't have the titles. So if you want the titles of what we're talking about, go to our website, goyard2014.org. O-R-G. We'll be right back, and feel free to call in if you'd like.
A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to laugh, a time to weep.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Love that song by the Birds, right? Old song. Why did you pick that for this show, Dr. Angel?
Well, because I thought it really represented what we're talking about. You know, there are so many seasons.
Right. And so a season, you want to define that? And because it's not about summer, fall, spring, and
winter. No, we're not talking about seasons.
Winter.
But it's when we go through different times in our life. We might have a season of, you know, being by ourselves. We might have a season when we're married. We might have a season of having young children. We might be in a season of having teenage children.
Yeah.
We might have empty nest and no children living at home. We may be in a season of taking care of our parents or taking care of adult children who seem to move back home.
Right.
Seasons of divorce, like moving seasons, like of changing life. Changing careers can be another season. Retirement is another season.
Well, you've just gone through a whole lot of them right there. And I know. And one of them that stood out to me is when a single person or a married couple is going about life and they're in their, what, late 30s, 40s, and they have grown children and somebody moves back in with them. How does that change? I'm just going to pick on a few of these examples for you to address.
No, it does. It changes everything because, first of all, you know, they were probably pretty comfortable and, you know, got themselves adjusted to not having, you know, people living in their home. And when you're moving adults back in your home, children or not, that there's some stresses and things that we're going to have to work out. It can be challenging.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And one of the biggest things are tensions that arise on, you know, a lot of times parents forget these kids are, they're adults. Now, they may be dependent again for a while financially for whatever reason, but they are adults, and it's hard for some parents to deal with their coming and going and their lifestyle all that, don't you think?
Yes, and I actually deal a lot with this in the counseling room, and, you know, the parent still sees them as, you know, 12 or 14, and we have a 33-year-old sitting in here with her own child, and, you know, the parent's still trying to parent her, and it can be, those boundaries can get really crazy at times and unsure of what's okay and what's not okay, and it gets chaotic and sometimes when we're adjusting to that change.
And so you hear this, you see this.
Absolutely.
It's not uncommon in today's economy, which a lot of times people are losing jobs, etc. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, in our market here in Florida, it's really hard for a single person to have a place by themselves. Like, rents are just astronomical
right now. Very high. So that causes a lot of times
that financial
kids to
burden.
Move, yeah, the,
yes.
the financial burden move back. Let's go with the other aspect, end of that, when baby boomers.
Mm-hmm.
Me, when our age group has to take parents in.
Yes, and that's happening a lot, especially here in Florida. I see we deal with that a lot. I have a lot of homes with multiple generations. So I have a home where, you know, the person who owns the home might be somewhere between her 30s and 50s, and she's got her children she's taking care of, and she has her parents she's taking care of.
Right.
And maybe even extended family like aunts and cousins and...
You know, in some cultures, that is just their way of life.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Growing up in Central America, we saw this a lot in homes that the grandparents still lived with the kids. Everybody, it was just one roof type thing. Everybody lived there. And I think in a lot of Asian cultures, it's that way, too. It's pretty accepted, right?
Yeah, Hispanic. And yes, absolutely.
It seems to be. And maybe other countries, too. But in America, it's not really like that.
No, it's not. You know, the American culture, you know, really isn't so much about letting, you know, our older relatives even live with us. It's like helping them find, you know, whatever accommodations will take care of them.
Right.
Because, you know, we have lives to live and we're busy and we're not so usually as welcoming. But sometimes we are, and it just
sometimes
depends.
We have to.
Right. Sometimes there's no finances for them to go somewhere else.
Sure.
And we got to make it work.
Right.
And that's stressful because now not only are we taking care of ourselves, our lives, maybe our children, but now, you know, we have this adult in our home that needs our care and attention, and they may need a lot. Doctor's appointments, medications. It depends
on.
It
changes everything your whole day.
Yes.
We just got a text from a listener that said that she was getting ready to move shortly. And she's anticipating that it's going to be difficult. Do you want to address that for somebody who's just moving from one town to another? But it means furniture. It means, you know.
Packing everything up.
And packing everything up is not necessarily easy, you know. And being organized, the value of organization. I'd like for you to address that because, to me, that's vital when you move.
It is so important, you know. And a lot of times when I watch people move, they're, like, just throwing stuff in boxes.
Throw it in the back of the car.
Maybe not even in boxes. Right. They don't know what's what. You know, organizing it and labeling it is so helpful. Because then you can kind of prioritize things when you get into your new home of what I have to deal with right now and what I can maybe deal with in the next over the next few weeks so that I can live and not have to be searching in boxes for a pot and a pan or, you know, those necessary items.
Well, and I so agree with this. And having moved many times in my lifetime, I can say that one of the greatest things that you need is one of those Sharpies.
Yes.
And write on your cardboard box, kitchen, mm-hmm. what room it goes to. Mm-hmm. That helps people that help you move to take the box to the right room. Whether anybody unpacks it or till 3 weeks from then, it doesn't matter. It's in the right room, right?
Correct. So, yes, labeling it and organizing it in a way that it kind of makes sense. Like, some people are just things from all over, putting them in the same box.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Oh, no.
Don't make them overly heavy. It's hurts your back. I don't care how strong you are. Like, moving is a lot of boxes. And so sometimes people are packing like 40 books in a box. And I'm like, yeah. Who's moving that? Because that's really heavy, you know? And so, and prioritizing, like, if you have, you know, your heavy winter clothes, you're not going to be using that for a while. So label winter clothes and, you know, you can put that aside.
Well, that brings up the point when you're moving, it's a great time to sort things. I've just been sorting for the last few months, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I've got one more closet to go, and it's a big one. It's my office closet with all of my office stuff. But what I intend to do, I'm just going to say, is set up a table, start pulling things out, and as I pull things out, put them in categories. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then what I've been taught that when it's important that you decide what you can discard and get rid of,
mm-hmm.
or what you can give away, right? Mm-hmm. Or what you're going to keep. Is that correct?
That's exactly how
the three categories.
Yes. So yes, you want your keep pile, your donate pile, and your throwaway pile.
Right, and for some people, it's very hard to give anything away.
True. But if you're not using it,
right?
There's really no reason to hold on.
Which brings me to this point with this show today about seasons of our lives. Because I've noticed in my own life, okay, what I started out with as a young married person at age 20 and, you know, wedding presents, etc. And then as life has progressed and now I am by myself and have been for several years, that, you know, it changes what I need. I need less than mm-hmm. what I accumulated, say, at age 40.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. When still had kids at home, etc. So things really, these seasons of our lives are good because as we progress through life, we can begin to get rid of stuff.
We can. We can purge some of those things that we're not using.
Purge, you know, good word.
Those clothes that are too small for us.
Oh,
or
I just
too
did
big
that.
For
oh,
us.
Oh my gosh, I just did that. And I just kept pulling out. I think I last count, I'm kind of embarrassed about this, but it's like 53 shirts.
Wow.
I've had a lot through the years, but a lot of them were very old. Some of them were 20 and 25 years old. I mean, seriously. And I mean, kind of funny to still have them there, but oh, my closet looks so much better. And I don't have all that stuff I never wore anyway for years.
Yeah, it's more manageable for you.
It is.
And so when we're moving, especially moving, it's a great time to kind of go through things and make it more manageable. You know, and the time that you can allot yourself to, you know, pack. I see people who are packing the day they have to move. Like, you usually know you're moving at least a couple weeks in advance. Most people do.
Oh, yes.
And so working on it constantly, and you can take that time, and you don't have to spend all that money and get fancy moving boxes.
No.
Go down to your local grocer, you know.
Yeah, they'll give them to you.
Big box store, and you can collect them, and works really great. And, yep, start sorting through your life, and then you're right, labeling it, getting help lined up. Know what your area that you're moving to. Look at where, like, how do I change my address? What grocery mm-hmm. stores are around? Like, just
these are stress reducers, right? Because it's hard enough just to get in the vehicles and actually physically walk into a new living mm-hmm. space, right? And there is some trauma involved. I mean, it's like, whoa, this is weird. But you'll get used to it. You'll be okay.
You do. And, you know, that kind of goes back to where we almost were before the break was, you know, a lot of times people continue to look back.
Yes, I forgot to go back there.
It's okay. You know, and so when we're...
Let's go back there to the things that we forgot.
We're going to go back. Okay. When we're home, we make memories. Homes can be really hard for people. You know, we make memories. There's good things that are happening. And now we're leaving that and going to something else, an unknown, a new city, a new home. Like, it's a lot.
It's hard.
And, you know, instead of looking back and, you know, always, oh, well, that other house, oh, well, the kitchen was better because this, or, oh, it was easier to entertain because this, or whatever. And they're constantly kind of putting down their new place because it's different. Different doesn't mean wrong. Mm-mm. It's different.
It's just different.
And so we have to stop that pattern of always looking back and feeling like the back was the better.
Well, that's one of the positive things of handling change in our lives and the seasons of our lives is that it is different. That's the point right there. Not necessarily better, not necessarily worse, but it is a new normal.
A new normal. Right. And we have to like break that mindset of different being worse. Mm-hmm. Different is different. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to take that valuation off of different because we see different as very negative most of the times, which leads us into feeling more anxious and depressed and negative about whatever this season of change is. You know, and moving can be a very positive thing. You might be moving to, you know, a more exciting location or a bigger house or a nice condo community and have some really cool benefits, but still struggle.
Well, don't you think it's important to keep those benefits in mind when we're moving and to not allow yourself to get all depressed because you're moving or mm-hmm. whatever, and try to keep it in proper perspective, right?
Absolutely. You know, and even if you're that person that's downsizing or you went through the divorce and you're moving because you know, split the assets. I know when that happened to me. I mean, I moved from a house that was 4,500 square feet, 3-car garage on an 1.5-acre of land into this 900 square foot little house that I rented. And that was a challenging step backwards, step backwards.
And it's hard not to take that personally and to be discouraged and be mad at the spouse or whatever, right?
It is. And so I took a couple deep breaths and it was like, okay, I got better at organizing so we could use that space effectively. And I'm like, wow, it's less house to clean. You know, try to find what our positives were. You know, we're walking distance to the grocery store. Or, you know, there's more different restaurants around here we can try. And so looking for those positives, even if it's a seasonal change that's stepping you back a little bit.
Right. So, you know, when we go through these times in our lives, whether it's moving, whether it's taking parents in, whether it's finally sending the last child to college or whatever the case may be, it's our attitude is so important, how we approach all this, Doctor. I mean, because I think people can drive themselves straight into a prescription of Prozac or Ativan or something like that because they are choosing to be overly upset. Mm-hmm. Oh, this could be terrible, and I can't imagine what's going to be like, and oh, this doesn't feel right, and why did I have to do this?
Absolutely, and what you're talking about is learning to respond versus react.
We have a question from a viewer.
Okay.
How do you deal with the guilt of getting rid of deceased parents' furniture that you just can't keep because there's no more room in the new place where you're going? Okay. That's a great question.
That is a great question because sometimes you're right. Our belongings are tied to memories of people who aren't in our lives anymore. And so knowing we can keep what we can keep and knowing that's not the entirety of that memory with that person, we have memories. We might have photos. We might have other belongings that are not quite so large. And finding someone that would appreciate that.
Give it to somebody or Goodwill or someplace where it's going to be repurposed.
Right.
Give it to a new person.
Right. If you can find someone personal that you know will really enjoy that. So you're blessing someone through that. Or you're right. Finding an organization like Goodwill or Salvation Army that's going to do it, you know, do something good with it.
And they will, you know. And the person just wrote again. And what about the cherishable items? And if you really don't have room for those?
Well, organization can really help with some of those cherishable items. And so, I mean, as a mother of three boys, I have lots of cherishable items for my kids and kept their drawings and cards and stuff. And I just went and bought bins that I knew I could store.
Right.
And I kept what I could. And because, you know, my kids are alive, I gave them what they, let them have opportunity to have what they wanted, and the rest we got rid of. And
it's so important that you do that, because I just did this, because I talked to you a lot about it as I was doing it, and it took several weeks of intense, you know, in my spare time, working on all these things, because I had things from my three kids, still from first grade, second grade, awards, you know, all kinds of stuff. And I did do this just like 2 months ago. and put bins with each of their names on it and began to just throw things in there, let them sort it, let them figure out what they wanted or didn't want. I didn't try to figure out what they wanted or didn't want. If it was something really important to me, I kept it, but I kept very little. And basically my idea was, and I said to them when I went to Indiana a few weeks ago, I would rather give you this stuff now, we can sit here and go through it and kind of laugh about it, than you finding all this when I'm gone.
Absolutely.
And then you're like, what do I do with this? Why did Mom give this to me? That kind of thing, you know?
Absolutely. And so, you know, knowing when it comes to those possessions, keep what we can keep and what
right.
we can't. You know, if the person's still around, give them the opportunity to have it. If they're not, you know, find someone who can have it or would right. love to have it or has the space for whatever it is, furniture to other cherishable items.
You know, I just was talking to one of my sisters yesterday about somebody that she met recently that is a minimalist. Do you want to define that? Mm-hmm. And how does that work?
So minimalists are people who have the minimum they need to get by. Really, they are not collectors. They are not knickknackers. They don't have, you know, they have just the minimum they need. Pretty simple when people are minimalist. They definitely reduce their stress.
Well, my sister said she went into this person's house and there wasn't one thing on the kitchen cabinet.
Yeah, that would be what a minimalist
right?
does.
Right?
They do because they believe in that mindset as, you know, less is more.
Right.
There's a whole phenomenon with that, with the tiny houses.
Yeah.
Those are minimalists. Those
right.
are people who go, we just need this to get through, and this is not our number one priority with our finances because we value, you know, freedom or travel or whatever it is that they
exactly.
want to do.
Yeah.
And so, yes, minimalists are people who don't have any of the extras. They have exactly what they need, what they use, and they don't hold on to what they don't need.
Right.
However, more people fall into pack rat.
Yeah, pack rat or hoarders.
Yes.
That's a whole nother show.
Hoarders is very extreme. But pack rat, you know, is where they, you know, that sentimental, oh, I need to keep that. I need to keep that. I mean, I know someone who has all the baby clothes her children ever wore.
Oh,
and they're like teens now.
Seriously?
Seriously.
No, you're kidding?
No, I'm not. And so, yeah, it's time to let some of those things go. And we can't tie that value. We tie some kind of weird value to belonging sometimes, like it's this person's honor or we're going to lose that memory. Memories are with us in our heart.
That's exactly right. My oldest son and his wife are getting ready to have their another child. And so a couple weeks ago, one of her best friends from college called and said, I just heard you're pregnant. That's so cool. She goes, I have twins and now they're this old age, like 4 or 5. And I have some things I'd like to see if you want. So they went there and had no idea that the lady was going to give them a beautiful baby bed in white,
aww.
So it doesn't matter if it's a boy or girl, and a stroller and all kinds of things that she's not going to have any more children. So she blessed them with that, and they said, we want to pay for this. And she said, you know, really, I don't want you to, or you can give $100 towards this charity. You know, I mean, and it was like, what a huge blessing that they got all of this stuff just because somebody cared enough to get rid of it instead of leaving it in their attic where it
exactly.
had been for a long time.
Exactly. You know, and so we need to know that those things can, if we can't accommodate them, they can bless other people.
They
and
can.
That's a good thing. I would want to know that my items in my life would be put to good use for someone who could need it or appreciate it or really desire to have it.
Well, I'm going to go back to my office closet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've seen it.
Yes,
okay?
I have.
It's kind of sad right now. And that I am to that point right now that I am excited to soon get everything out of there because I like to be able to say, where is the moving packing tape? Well, it's on the third shelf on the right. I like that feeling when I am that organized.
Sure.
And for the last 2 or 3 years, I've just let that closet just mount up. To the point that now I really can't tell you where to find most of it in there. You know what I mean?
I think we're all at that point. You know, it's funny because I was just reading a piece of research the other day. You know the thing that people waste their time on the most?
Looking for something,
I bet.
Yes, right?
It's looking for things.
And when you say you've lost it, it's in the last place you had it.
Yes, it is.
Right?
Yes, it is.
Even though you have no idea what
and
that is.
And they spend so much wasted time looking for things,
right.
which causes what?
Stress. And so this is my point, which I really want you to address. In the seasons of our lives, as we're changing from maybe a parent to living alone, or kids are all out of the empty nest, or you're now taking your parents in, the more organized you can be, the easier your life is. Would you address that?
Absolutely true, which I don't absolutely agree. Remember, I'm always
Yeah, you never say absolutely. What's wrong with you?
Because we're not spending wasted time looking for things that we need or can't find. You know, we don't have all this extra stuff around us. What we have is what we need.
Right.
That's really important to kind of take off those extra stresses. I mean, even if you don't feel like it bothers you, it's your body internalizes it a lot when things are a little more chaotic in the home. And that just makes it more challenging for you to deal with what you have going through the changes of life and the seasons. And so, yeah, organization is really important.
I think we should do a show soon on hoarding.
I think we should, too.
Because it is a very real problem, and some call it a disease.
It is part of OCD.
It's part of OCD, and I think that we need to do that. I'm making a note right now.
Right, like that.
Because so many people are mild hoarders, some are hoarders, and some of them are extreme hoarders, and for 7 or 8 years that A&E series was on hoarders, and I don't know about you. I watched a few of them, and it just made me sick.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so hard to see how sad it is when someone can't get rid of just plain trash.
Yes. Yes, sometimes it's just really bubblegum wrappers.
So listen
really
for that
trash,
show. We're going to have that very soon.
But, you know, a lot of us kind of fall into that
pack rat
area where we just keep hanging
on
to
define
stuff.
Pack rat. It's not a hoarder.
It's not a hoarder. It's definitely not a minimal. So we just kind of
it's my office closet.
Yeah, keeping stuff over the years, you know. A lot of times when we've lived in a place for a long period of time, we just kind of accumulated a lot of things we may not be needing or using. Most of them now we might have at some point. And so we just kind of have a lot of extra stuff.
Right.
That's kind of a pack rat.
So the value of organization is huge.
It's huge. It's huge on our emotional health and our time. And, you know, yes, the more organized we can make our life, we're reducing some of that stress we can control. Because I can't control, you know, my kids are going to grow up and move out of the house, or, you know, I can't control a medical diagnosis or this or that. But it can control how I keep my house and my life
absolutely
here.
And we can control how much we live in the area of regret.
Yes.
And versus contentment. Okay. And I think that is huge. That's a whole nother show, really, because so many people live in the regret cycle, and they just, I wish I never would have got involved with that person, or I wish that had never happened to me. Oh, I just can't believe I did that. I can't believe this happened. I can't believe I lost my job. On and on and on, instead of enjoying the moment. And part of handling life's seasons is to embrace, I'm going to go back to that word, the season you're in.
Embrace the season you're in.
For instance, summer, I kayak. And I was just kayaking last week with my grandson and his girlfriend. So, you know, when it's summertime in particular and the water is really nice and warm, it's time to do summer things.
Mm-hmm.
Embrace that season.
Exactly.
Making notes.
I am making notes. We do need to embrace it, because when we keep looking back, which is where we get that regrets happening, because we are looking back, we're not moving forward, and we're definitely not in this moment.
Not here. Enjoying the moment.
We are not. You know, and you know, there's some, you know, I'm a big about self-reflection. So I'm gonna throw some self-reflection out for our audience to think about during the week. You know, what season of life are you in?
Ooh, that's good. Let's go with that next week.
All right. So what season of life are you in at this very moment?
Okay.
You know, how has the seasons you've been through changed you? What have you gained from those seasons? How have they strengthened you? What kinds of seasons have you already experienced? Like, those are really good self-reflection questions. And getting to this can help us handle the other seasons that are coming. Mm-hmm. No matter where you are in life, seasons are coming, my friend.
Right.
The good thing about life always being changing, always in that state of changing, is if you're in a bad season, it's going to change.
This too shall pass, right?
If you're in a good season, it's going to change. And so being prepared and ready emotionally and psychologically to handle these changes, even though we may not be able to control when and how they come at us, will really help us find that go-yard life.
And that's really true. And it has a lot to do with learning to be content with where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Yes, it is.
Regardless of whether you're turning another year older and it's bothering you, or you're dealing with some health issues right now, learning to be content right where you are and really appreciate life for what it is and enjoy the weather, enjoy the sunshine, enjoy getting outdoors, you know?
Enjoying the moment for what it is. Mm-hmm. It may not be what it used to be, but it is what it is right now, and it's okay.
It really is.
You know, and finding ways to make the best of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it might be really hot and humid outside, and finding different ways to enjoy that hot, humid weather,
right?
You know, instead of complaining and being irritated by it all the time.
Yeah, the more we complain, the less effective we are. And really, complaining is not usually going to get us anywhere.
No, we get ourselves stuck in a rut when we do that. And wow. We don't want to do that.
It's late. I didn't realize the time.
I know.
We got to get out of here. This has been Handling Life Seasons, the changes in our lives. Part one, I guess. Didn't realize it, but I think it's part one. So we got a lot more to talk about next week. So tune in with us next week and to Go Yard as we talk about all the changes in your life and what you can do about those. And maybe you'll call in. And we appreciate the ones who did text tonight. Any other comment?
I really want to challenge our audience to sit back and take those self-reflection questions and really look at it this
again.
So what season of life are you currently in? What seasons have you experienced through your life? And how have those seasons given you strength? How has it changed you?
Wow, this is good stuff. You are who? What?
I'm Dr. Angel.
Oh, that's who you are. That's right. I'm Mama Mac. This has been Go Yard, and that's Pete in there. See you
yes,
next
it
week.
Is.
Good night.
Lord have mercy on this weary soul. Come and take me to the river and make me whole. It's down with the old and up with the new. The heart reset my life, take two. Oh Lord have mercy on this weary soul. Still love.